because we continue with some of the applications of Maisa of Hilchos Bas B'Cholav. So, of course, there's a very famous designation on many hashkachas that says DE on it, which of course stands for dairy equipment. So I thought we would try to explain a little bit what exactly is the halachic basis for that statement, what is the halachic significance of that statement, and we'll maybe talk about why some hashkachas don't like to put that statement on. So the sugya actually begins in the first of the Ma'amakomos in Maseches Chulin, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph from the Beis. The Gemara begins with Amar Chizki Mishum Abaye Hilchasa Dagim She'ola B'Ka'ara Muta La'ochlon B'Kusach. So which literally means a person has a fish that was on a plate, one is permitted to eat that fish with kusach. Kusach is a milchik dish that was prevalent in the days of Chazal. So we have to add a little bit to the Gemara. I'm not just talking about putting fish on a plate, but rather what we're talking about is as follows. We're talking about a plate that previously had basar on it. So we just have to keep track of what the picture in our minds is. I take a piece of hot meat, and I put the piece of hot meat onto a plate. Then I eat the meat, take it off, clean off the plate. So there's no actual meat left on the plate. What there is tam of basar. There's taste of basar. So some of the taste of the meat has been transferred into the walls of the plate. And now I subsequently put dagim, I subsequently put parva food, not necessarily fish, any other kind of parva food, onto that same plate. And the question becomes, did the tam, the taste that had originally gone from the meat into the plate, does it now travel a second time into the fish? In effect, making the fish what we would call fleishiks. What is the halacha? So this is the first application of the principle called equipment. Namely, that I want to know whether this particular fish is fleishiks or not. So obviously there's no meat literally in the fish. And putting aside the issues of the health of the meat and fish, that's the story. Put that aside for another time. But obviously there's no real meat inside the fish. But there is potentially a tam of meat. So do we have to be concerned with the tam of meat, with the taste that has traveled from the meat into the plate and then from the plate subsequently into the fish? So the Gemara concludes that one does not have to be concerned with that. Mutar la'ochlan b'kusach. One is permitted to eat that fish together with milk. And that's what's called in halacha, no sein tam bar no sein tam. So literally, no sein tam means taste has traveled once. No sein tam bar no sein tam means it's the son of a no sein tam. It's traveled already twice. Usually we don't bother calling it a no sein tam, bar no sein tam. It's too long and klutzy to say. So the minhag has become to call it not bar not. That's the standard abbreviation that everybody uses. Remember somebody once commented to me that they were sitting in a certain yeshiva, and there were a couple of YU guys who were sitting and learning there, and they were learning the sugya of not bar not. So they were using the phrase, not bar not, not bar not. So one of the other people from the other yeshiva said, that's one of the problems in YU, everything is Rashi Tevis. And why can't you say the whole word out? So the Bachim didn't want to respond that nobody in the last 1,000 years has ever used the term no sein tam by no sein tam. It's too klutzy. The Shach, the Ramaz, everybody calls it not by not. It's not a YU shtick. That's the conventional way of speaking. So the halacha is that not by not, the Gemara says, is permissible. That since the tam went from the meat to the plate, from the plate to the fish, so we just ignore that subsequent tam. It's no longer considered to be fleishiks. The question is conceptually, why should that be so? What is the basis of that halacha? So there is a suggestion of the Rashba. I didn't put it on the Marmakom, it's very, very long, we'll just say it Baal Peh. But the Rashba suggests that it's based on the following idea. The Rashba says that if you think about it, the tam that has traveled so far is still what we call the tam of Heter. There's nothing treif about the tam yet. We haven't discussed any problem yet. Kol zman that the milk hasn't been introduced, it's still called the Dovah Shel Heter. Now, you want to create an Isser Basar B'Cholav, says the Rashba, you can't create an Isser on something which is so shvach to begin with, which is so weak to begin with. It's traveled so far. It's traveled from meat to plate, from plate to fish. There's no kechas left to it anymore. It's called in halacha a tam kolosh. Whenever you have a tam kolosh, kol zman that it's a tam kolosh, you can't create an Isser. However, says the Rashba, what if it wouldn't be a tam shel heter? What if it would be chazer? What if it would be nevelus and treifus? Let's say I took a piece of chazer and I put it onto a plate. I take it off and I put kosher food onto that plate. So of course the kosher food becomes treif. I don't say, well, it's traveled so many times so it's not a problem. No. Says the Rashba, the only time you say this principle that it's traveled so many times, therefore it's permissible, is only by something such as basar, because the basar isn't asur yet. It's only going to become asur when the chalav and the milk is introduced. So since by the time the milk is introduced into the equation, the tam basar has been so wiped out, it's so weakened, it's traveled so many times, then do we apply the principle called not bar not to heitera mutter. So l'maisa, that's what the din is, that no sin tam, no sin tam, not bar not is mutter. Nevertheless, the Gemara contrasts that, going back to the first of the Maimakamos. However, tznon shechoscha besakin shechotach ba basar, Whenever you have a case that seems to be very similar, a person takes a piece of meat and uses a knife to cut that piece of meat, and then he uses that knife subsequently to cut something else, so I would say that's classic not bar not. It means the tam went from the meat into the knife, and then it goes from the knife into the parva food, and we should say, well, nothing happened. It's still considered to be parva. The tam bosa hasn't traveled. Not by not as mutter. So comes the Gemara and says, also the ochel b'kusach. That is not true. That second case is considered to be a problem. That's a major question. Why should that be so? If halachically the principle is, once the tam has traveled twice, it's not subject to bos b'cholav anymore, why should everything change in the second case of the tznon shechascha b'sakin? So Rashi has two approaches to this sugya. One lashon Rashi says is that it's known, a radish is a type of a food that's what's called in halacha called a dava charif. It's something which is sharp. So many of you are familiar with the fact, if you ask a shayla about something, I use this pot and that pot, 99% of the time it will end up being mutter. But if you say the one bad word, you say there was an onion, so you're asking for trouble. If you just present the shayla, well, I cut an onion, forget it. That's almost always going to be asa. Why is that? Because an onion or a tznon or radishes, these are dvarm charifim, and dvarm charifim are considered to have a high level of tam in halacha. So Rashi in one pshat says, the reason why the second case is prohibited is because it's a davar charif, and a davar charif trumps the principle of not bar not. So not bar not is great, is wonderful, except when it comes into contact with a davar charif. That's one pshat in Rashi. And the second pshat in Rashi is, it has nothing to do with davar charif. The reason why the case of cutting a vegetable is still a problem is because knives tend not to be cleaned all that well. Plates are cleaned well, and knives are harder to clean. So knives which are harder to clean, we always have to be concerned lest there's some actual meat on the knife. So when I cut the vegetable, that's not bar not. Not bar not means when there's tam, when there's taste that was infused into walls of a pot or into a plate or into a knife or somewhere. If it's traveling multiple times, then it's not to be reckoned with. You don't have to be concerned with it. But if there's still be'en, if there's still real schmutz, there's real food, so real food is always a problem. Meat is always, doesn't matter if I take a piece of meat and I throw it from one pot to another plate, doesn't matter how many times it goes, is that if it's still there, if it's still something I can touch, I can see, I can feel, so of course that's considered to be a problem. So two pshat bin Rashi, why the second case is an exception to the rule, but the basic rule stands, the dagam sha'ol b'ka'ara is mutal lachal b'kusach. So it comes, tells us in the second Lema Mekamos, and begins with a story, with a chumrah, which is going to change our entire perception of the sugya of not bar not. So it comes, tells us, in Chulin Daf Kufyad Aleph of Mebeis, Hilchas Adagam Sha'ol Bekara, B'Shem Rashi, Pirish Rivon Chosno. The Rivon was one of the sons-in-law of Rashi, so the Rivon quotes the following, Dafka olu sharu. The only time that not bar not is permissible is only like the case in the Gemara of dagam sha'olu b'ka'ara. The Gemara gave a very specific case to illustrate this principle of not bar not, that the hot fish was put onto a plate. Why did the Gemara use that kind of a case? Aval nizbashlu, says the Rivan. What if it wasn't that a hot part of a food was put onto a plate, but rather it was actually cooked in a pot? Namely, I took a part of a pot, and I cook up meat in the pot. So now I have a mamasha, a fleshik pot, and I go ahead and I cook potatoes, I go ahead and I cook eggs, I go ahead and I cook parva food. So comes the Rivan and says, then the tam does spread. Then I cannot hide behind not bar not. Says the Rivan, the only time there's a kula of not bar not is only when it's derech aliyah, when it's going into a plate, because the plate is cold. So I'm just taking a hot food and putting it onto a cold plate. The degree of tam that spread is very, very little. Aval nizbashlu, but if I'm cooking in a pot, asur, then for sure the tam spreads. The kichad tam achoshiv, it's considered to be like the same tam. It's not bar not anymore. Uba ma'isil afanav. One time it happened that the Rivan was brought the following case. The beitzim shen nizbashlu b'kedeva shel cholov, that there were eggs that had been cooked in a milchik pot. What we would call dairy equipment. So comes the Rivan and says, what do you do with dairy equipment? You have eggs that were cooked in a milchik pot. So based on the Gemara, I would have said, it's hetagomer. It's not bar not. Do that. You can take those eggs and put them in your chulot. It should be hetagomer. So says the Rivan, no. V'asa lasas b'muliyasa shabasar. So says the Rivan, you are not permitted to use those eggs, those milchik eggs now, and put them into a fleshik dish. So this was the chiddush of the Rivan. He said it theoretically, and then he said it lamais as well, that the whole kul of not bar not just fell by the wayside. It only applies on a cold plate, but in a hot pot, then it's all over. Says Tosus, perhaps we could bring a proof for the Rivan. Ve'esh lavi raya ledvarav. We can bring a raya to him. Mitznon shechoscha besakin to also la'ochla bekusach. The Gemara said before that if you cut a piece of meat and then you subsequently cut a vegetable, so that's a problem. The vegetable, the kur, that's known is considered to be fleshix. Mishum da agav chorfe balatfe. Because since it's so sharp, Tosfos is saying Rashi, one of Rashi Pshatim, since it's so sharp, the chashiv yechataima, that's considered to be like one top. Once it's such a strong taste of sharpness, that trumps not barnat. If it is bashlu lagar mitznon, so says Tosfos, if it's cooked together, how much more so is that considered to be chad tam? Umiyu, Tosfos concedes, leperish loshen acher shabirish bekuntris, according to the other pshat in Rashi, the time of the osur mishum shashuman karish al asakin, the reason why, in the case of cutting the radish, the vegetable, why it's not called the heter of not barnat, is because the shuman, because there's grease on the knife, v'eino nika, you just can't see it, vavitam rishon, it's known, ein raimisham, then there would be no riot to the case of Nisbashlu B'yachad. So again, Tosfos says, this din of the Rivan, whether there's a new chumra here called not for not derech bishul, which according to the Rivan translates to mean that you cannot eat it with the opposite food. So if you cook eggs in a fleshik pot, those eggs are fleshik. You cook potatoes in a milchik pot, those potatoes are milchiks. That chiddush of the Rivan, which seems to be against the Gemara, says not by not as mutter. So Tosfos says it's not against the Gemara. It's based on the equivalent, halach equivalent, of cooking food together to davar charif. That, of course, only makes sense if davar charif really plays a role. If you hold like the other pshat in Rashi, that the reason why the radish was a problem because the knives were dirty, then that would not impact at all in our shaila. So at the end of the day, we're not quite sure what the din is. This is, of course, very, very relevant for us. Not only is it relevant in our kitchens, it's relevant in all of our factories as well. So, Allah l'maisa, I remember when I was a little kid, sometimes my mother would say to me, no, you can't eat those potatoes with milk. Those are fleshy potatoes. So I never thought twice, okay, fleshy potatoes. According to many of the Rishonim who've never heard of this Rivan, what do you mean fleshy potatoes? That statement doesn't make any sense. If you have potatoes, how do they become fleshy? If they were mamish cooked together in a pot with chicken at the same time, okay, that was a fleshy potatoes. But that's usually not what happens. Usually they were cooked in a fleshy pot, so all of a sudden we call it colloquially fleshy potatoes. I'm sure everyone has heard that phrase. It's a milchik egg. Where did it come milchiks from? It became milchiks, it became fleshiks because it was cooked in a pot that at one time was cooked fleshiks and milchiks. So according to the Rivan, that's a true statement. According to those who disagreed with the Rivan, many Rishonim disagreed with the Rivan, they never heard of such a thing. Just because it was this bashlu b'kadei v'shal b'osa, big deal. That's classic not bar not. So we have a major machlekes in the Rishonim. How do we paskin lahalacha? So the Shulchan Aruch in the third of the Ramakamos, the Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Beis, beitzish in this bashlu b'mayim b'kadei v'chalevis. If you cook an egg in water, although it was a milchik pot, so the Shulchan Aruch says that it's perfectly permissible even lechetchila to take that what some people would have maybe mistakenly called a milchik egg and put it right into your chicken. You can eat it together with fleshik, says the Shulchan Aruch, because the Shulchan Aruch doesn't accept the view of the Rivan. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam and most of the Rishonim who never heard of this Rivan, who say that it's called not bar not. It doesn't matter whether it's in a ka'ara, whether it's in a kadeira, whether it's in a chbishel, everything's mutar. It's always considered to be not bar not, and therefore there's nothing wrong. There is no such thing as a milchik egg or a fleshik egg. For that matter, according to the Shulchan Aruch, there is no such thing as dairy equipment as well. Dairy equipment is just the modern day in a factory of this shaila of the Rivan. Namely, I use certain equipment in the factory to process something dairy on, and now we go ahead and we prepare part of a food on that equipment. So all of a sudden we call it dairy equipment. According to the non-Rivan people, according to the Shulchan Aruch, that designation doesn't make any sense. Doesn't exist. It would be totally mutter to take the dairy equipment food and eat it mamish together with fleshes. Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, even though there is a difference, one's the rice and one's the rabbanon, but in terms of practically speaking, there's not going to be a difference.
Is there a difference between the lashon of kedir shalchol and kedir chalevis?
No. Which means, it just means it was cooked with milk. Cooked with milk or milk pot.
Wouldn't that if you cook with a charev?
If you
cook the egg with lemon.
Okay, that may change things. The charev may throw things off. We'll see it as we go on. So even though the Shulchan Aruch quotes unequivocally those who disagree with the Rivan, if we go back to the Ramah, the second line of the third of the Ramakamos, towards the middle of the line, Hagah, for Yesh Machmirin, there is some who are Machmir, but Sliu Bishul, if the food was either roasted on a, let's say if I roasted a potato on a fleshik grill, or if I cooked a potato in a fleshik pot, lesser no sin tam or no sin tam. So that's the sheet of the Rivan, that it should be a problem. So the question is, how far is the Ramah quoting the Yesh Machmirim? So the Ramah continues, V'aminig lesser l'chadchila, u'bidiyevin mutu b'chol inyon. So says the Ramah, our custom is to follow the view of the Rivan, but not 100%. It means we're choshesh, we're concerned for the Rivan's view. What that would mean is as follows. If you have potatoes that were cooked in a fleshy pot, you should not eat these potatoes with cheese. That's the proper thing to do. According to the Shulchan Aruch, you can do whatever you want. But according to the Ramah, lechatchila, you should not be eating these potatoes with cheese. But what if you got some cheese got onto the potatoes? What if it got mixed in already? So then we're going to say it's treif, because you have to throw it out. So the answer is, according to the Rivan, yes. According to the Rivan, you'd mamash have to throw it out. Whereas the Ramah is not willing to tell you to actually throw the food out. The Ramah is saying, vis-a-vis lechatchila, we should be choshesh not to eat the dairy equipment or the meat equipment, whatever it is, with the opposite food. But the evidence, if it already got mixed into the opposite food, then we're going to let you eat it after the fact. So that's what the Psach of the Ramah is. So Ashkenazim generally follow this Psach of the Ramah. So that's how we're noig l'maisa. So we are concerned with dairy equipment. We will not take food that was made in dairy equipment and just eat it together with meat. But b'di'evit, if it already got mixed into meat, we're not going to throw the whole thing out. We used to have this issue in our house very often. So sometimes my wife would make pasta, sometimes she'd make it in a fleshy pot. So inevitably one of my kids would decide that they have to have cheese in the pasta. They threw a fit. They will not eat the pasta without cheese. So now the question is, okay, I see from the nods other people have had these sagas also. So the question is, now what do you do? So I have these fleshik noodles, fleshik pasta, and I want to know, can I put cheese on it? So the answer is, depends whether you follow the Rivan or not. So I wouldn't put cheese on it, because I want to follow the Ramos Chumra to follow the Rivan. But when you have a screaming kid, so maybe the screaming kid has a right to rely on Tosfos, and they have a right to rely on the Shulchan Aruch, that it's okay. Now, what do you mean it's okay? I'm going to let them go ahead and put the cheese onto the pasta. It's going to trafe up my whole kitchen. It's not going to trafe up anything. The Ramah himself just got finished telling you, but the evidence, it's all right anyway. But the evidence, if it happened, you can eat it anyway. So it's not going to trafe it up. It's a chumra lechatchila. So there have been times in the course of the last several years that our otherwise fleshy pasta has been turned into potentially not but not pasta, relying against the sheet of the Rivan. But again, normative halacha, so one is at least over the age of bar bas mitzvah, should really be careful, Ashkenazi at least should be careful not to violate this. So we have to be chayshesh for the fleshy equipment, we have to be chayshesh for the milch equipment as well. So in the fifth of the Mamre Kamos, so the Shach in Siman Pei Tes is commenting on a Ramah. I'm sorry, I didn't read the Ramah first. In the fourth of the Mamre Kamos. Go back for a moment to the fourth of the Mamre Kamos. So the Ramah is talking about, going back to some of the halachas we spoke about several weeks ago, about the requirement of waiting after eating meat before partaking of milk. So we saw the Gemara tells us there's a chumah min d'rabbanan, even though it's not derech bishul, obviously, I'm not even eating it together, but since a person ate meat, so he shouldn't be eating milk soon afterwards, for a variety of reasons. Some Rishonim said because the taste is still in his mouth of the meat, other Rishonim said that the pieces of meat are still between his teeth, whatever it is, whatever the reason for the din min d'rabbanan is, ochel basa le'yechel gvina. So we spoke a lot about how long one has to wait, whether you have to wait misud l'suda, 1 hour, 3 hours, 6 hours, benching, all the different possibilities, but the ma'aseh, that's the din. The halacha is that you have to wait. Then there's a further machlokes in the Rishonim. What if you're eating a food that's not actual meat itself? That means it's more of a tafshel shabosar. It means you cooked meat together with other kinds of foods, and I want to take, let's say, some of the soup or something, or other things that was cooked as part of the meat. Does that also require us to wait 6 hours? And I've been against that, yes. So comes the Ramah, and that comment, and says, Mihu, in the fourth of the Ramah Kamos, Im ein bosar betafshil, rakshin is bashil b'kederishol bosar. What if you have food that's really part of a food? It was never cooked together with meat. It doesn't have any meat in it whatsoever. So what is it? It's part of a food that happened to be cooked in a fleshik pot. So comes the Ramah and says, mutal lechel achar gvina. So then it's permissible even lechadchila to eat cheese, to eat milk after the part of a food, even though the part of a food was cooked in a fleshik pot. So comes the Ramah and says, and don't even tell me b'taras chumra, b'taras minik, zero, it's hetek gomer, not even a shayla. So again, so if you have real meat and you want to eat cheese afterwards, that's for sure also. If you have what's called a tafshel shabasar, that's not real meat, but it's something that was cooked together with meat. So that's a question. But says the Ramah, even I who are going to be machmir in a tafshel shabasar on part of a food that was cooked in a fleshic pot, that's out of the question. Nobody in a million years would ever be machmir on that. So the question is, what was the necessity of the Ramah saying this? The Ramah feels like sounds like he's giving you a great kula. Sounds like, I would have thought it's asr, so kamash malon, that this is okay. So the Acharonim have a lot of problems with this Ramah, because l'chora, not only do you not have to wait after eating the food that was cooked in a fleshy pot, but it could be mikra din, you're allowed to eat it mamash together. Because me'ik mikra din, not but not as mutter. I mean, the rivan is a chumr, okay. But I'm saying me'ik mikra din, you're allowed to take the food, the potatoes that were cooked in a fleshy pot, and mamash put cheese on it, like the pasta. You can take the fleshy pasta and put cheese on it, me'ik redin. So the Ramah sounds like he's giving you a gvalika kula. By the way, you don't have to wait 6 hours. You don't have to wait 6 hours. You don't have to wait anything. You're allowed to eat it mamash together. So what was the significance of this Ramah? So the Shach in the fifth of the Marmakoma says, he thinks the Ramah is coming to tell you the following kula. Mi'umein basa mutter. So the kamon reish sim and sari hei yisboyer, the afil the ochlum gvina mutter, davi nat bernat. So the Shach is asking on the Ramah, what's the chiddush that you don't have to wait? You're allowed to eat it together. Now Venira says the Shach, the chiddush is as follows. The hash be'inan, hocha de mutter lecho gvina charkach, hainu afil nisbashu be'kedera, shalo hudcha yofa. So says the Shach, if the pot was absolutely spotless, and it's just a question of a not bar not, so then I don't need the Ramah to tell me you don't have to wait. If mikra din, you can eat it together. The chiddush of the Ramah is, even if the pot wasn't absolutely clean, the pot still had some residue of fleshiks on it. So says the Shach, I would have thought, if I cook potatoes in a fleshik pot, which is not just fleshiks, but this gluk, remember, see the grease in the pot, so I would have thought that the havik tasma masha shalisar, I would have thought that it's a potential problem of fleshiks. So there you should not eat those potatoes with milk. But in terms of waiting, then there is no need to wait. So what the Shach just told us is now we have different gradations, different levels as to what's considered to be, how fleshiks is fleshiks, or how serious is equipment considered to be a problem. So comes the Shach, putting together this Ramah, putting together everything we've said, and makes the following setup of a hierarchy of rules. That if you have real meat, and real meat, obviously, you have to, not only can't eat with milk, you have to wait 6 hours as well. If it's a tafshel shabasar, it means it's something that was, let's say you make a chicken soup, now you have the potatoes or whatever, the carrots are in the chicken soup, that's why it's a tafshel shabasar, it's cooking together with the meat, so then once you eat that, you shouldn't eat any, you shouldn't have milchiks for 6 hours as well. But if you didn't even have that, you just cooked up potatoes in a fleshic pot, so meika mikra din, those potatoes and mamish parva. Lechatchila, we have a minute to follow the rivon. Lechatchila, don't eat it together with cheese. But mikra din, it's really going to be mutter. Is there any reason to have to wait for 6 hours after eating those potatoes? So the Ramah and the Shach said, that's ridiculous to wait 6 hours. What are you waiting 6 hours for? They're not even fleshes to begin with. For sure you don't have to wait 6 hours. And says the Shach HaChiddush, what if the pot is even a little bit dirty? The pot's a trifle dirty. That's also okay. You still don't have to wait for 6 hours. So this Ramah, this Shach, are now very important for us. What they basically just told us is that even though we are concerned with dairy equipment, or we are concerned with meat equipment, that only means vis-a-vis eating it together, mamish. But in terms of the requirement of waiting, then we just ignore that whole E. On the DE part of our Hashgachas, we just ignore the whole E, because it's not basa mamish, it's not full of mamish, and therefore it's mutter. What would be the practical applications of this? Let's say a person had a Shabbos meal, so they had their chicken, they had their chillin, their mamish fleshiks, and now they want to bring out something for dessert. And it happens to be that dessert says on it D. So the question is, what is the meaning of that D? If the meaning of that D is there's real dairy in it, there's mamish milchiks in it, so then obviously that's going to be a problem. If the meaning of that D is, it's not really milchiks, what it means is, it was cooked in the same equipment that at one time was used to cook milchiks in it. So the worst case scenario is that it's dairy equipment. So even though the minig is not to eat it together with the fleishik, so let's say I have these arguments like the shulchan cookies, and I know for a fact that the shulchan cookies, even though they say dairy on them, they're not really dairy, they're really dairy equipment. Yes. So to eat the cookies together with fleishik, so that would be dependent on the Rivan and the other Rishonim. According to most of the Rishonim, even that's okay. But our minig is like the Ramah, like the Rivan, not to do that. So I shouldn't be eating the dairy equipment together with meat, but to be required to wait after eating meat before eating dairy equipment, Ad Kedei Kach, the Rambam and the Shach say, one is not required to wait. And what if the equipment wasn't even so clean? So hopefully stuff in the factories is probably pretty clean, but some stuff in some restaurants may not be so clean. So the Shach says, nah, even if it's stuff in a, even if it's a little bit dirty, that's also okay. It's not going to be any worse than regular dairy equipment. So one can already get the sense that the term dairy equipment is a very confusing term in halacha, because you have to know the Rivan, and you have to know the other Rishonim, and you have to know, am I eating it together with the meat, eating it without the meat, after the meat, am I waiting, not waiting? So it starts to get very, very complicated. So that's why there are different opinions amongst different contemporary kashrus organizations, whether we should even introduce that confusing logo into a standard kashrus symbol. So there are many organizations that refuse to apply the principle of DE. That means anything that's DE, anything that's dairy equipment, they're just going to write dairy on it, finished. If you happen to know that it's dairy equipment, you figure out with yourself what to do. But the organization itself will not print those confusing letters, DE, because people don't understand. Is it milchus? Is it not milchus? Not everybody knows every Ramon, every Shach in Yerodea. So they just across the board, they'll tell you that it's dairy. And there are other organizations that say no. It means they'll write DE if you don't know what that means. So call the rabbi and find out what exactly DE means. Very often, what happens, I just had a shayla just the other day, very often you get these kinds of shaylas where somebody makes a mistake in Bas B'Chalav, and they get all, they mixed in something that was dairy into their meat, and whole story. And now they're getting all nervous, and then when they call me up and I say to them, listen, I'm not even sure there's any real dairy in this. What do you mean it's not dairy? It says dairy on it. It says, well, we have to find out from the organization, is it really dairy or not? So certain organizations will print DE, and if it says D on it, so you know that it's mamash milchiks. But within those other organizations that don't, they're not going to that label, they'll never print anything DE, you have to call them and find out, what's the status? So just the other day, somebody just called me that they mixed a certain thing into their coffee. They were drinking the coffee in a fleishik mug, and then they put some syrup in, and they thought that the syrup was powerful. It turned out it had a big D on it. So if they're ascertaining what the status was, it wasn't really D altogether. It was dairy equipment altogether. So the D of it, it's not gonna really trace anything up. So this whole discussion that we've had is all assuming that the Rivan is true. If the Rivan is not true, so then everything's mutter. So then, not everything literally, but everything in this sugya is going to be mutter, because according to the non-Rivan people, so not by not is completely permissible, even if it's derech bishul. So even though our minig is to be machmer for the Rivan, if you take a look at the sixth of the Maamar Kamos, so the Rambam has a comment in the sixth of the Maamar Kamos, even in light of the shittas of Rivan, a certain kula. Im haya klish in esbashlo nitzlebol of gam, shlo haya ben yomo, nogin heta lechet chila le'ochlo ima min hasheni. So it comes to Rambam and says, that what if the pot that you cook these potatoes in happened to have, yes, been a fleshic pot, but it happened not to have been used for the last 24 hours. It was called in halacha a klish in a ben yomo. Why in the world does that make a difference? So this is a throwback to some of the principles we spoke about at the beginning. If you remember, the first couple of weeks of the year, we try to develop all the basic principles of kashrus before we break down to some of the nitty-gritty. So there was a basic principle in kashrus that treif of food is only a problem if it tastes good. If it tastes miserable, tastes horrible, then it's not considered to be treif. The Torah says that you're not allowed to eat nevela, you're not allowed to eat an animal that wasn't shechted, and the Torah immediately says, l'sochlu kol nevela, you're not allowed to eat the nevela, but you're supposed to give it to the goyim, let the goyim eat it. So the Gemara darshins in Maseches Avodah Zarah, from the fact that the Torah describes giving the food, the treif of food to the goyim, it sounds like we're talking about food that is edible. So the Torah limits the isser of treifas, machos asus only applies when the food is edible. It's called nevela haru'uya lager. So it's the corollary of that statement is, the Gemara says, if you have a pot that was used more than 24 hours ago, even though there's some of the treifas that's balua, that's absorbed into the walls of the pot, if it's been sitting inside the walls for more than 24 hours, we assume that it's already rotting. It's already tastes bad, and therefore, min ha-Torah, you don't have to be concerned with it altogether. So that's why, in fact, the entire institution of kasher and kelim that appears in the Chumash in Parshas Matos, the Gemara explains that entire mitzvah, the whole entire set of halachas of kasher and kelim, only applies if you want to use the kli within 24 hours. If I just cooked, the goy just cooked chazer in an hour ago, and I want to use that pot to cook my soup, then it's a problem. Then min ha-Torah, you have to kasher the pot. If you just want to wait it out for 24 hours, so then lo osra k'toyre ala kedera bas yoma, that the Torah only prohibits a kedera bas yoma, it only prohibits a pot that was used within that previous 24 hours. So how come we kash a kelim all the time? How come we never heard of this, just waiting 24 hours and then using the pot? So the Gemara says that midirabbanan, the Chachamim instituted, that you have to kash a pot even after 24 hours for a very obvious reason, that we are afraid that if we let you use pots after 24 hours, the next thing you know is the guy's going to use the pot within the 24 hours as well. So min haTorah, within 24 hours, the pot has to be kashered. Midirabbanan, it has to be kashered even after 24 hours. Since the whole prohibition is only midirabbanan, so the Chachamim made the following dispensation. They said, lechatchila, you should not use the pot. The pot was ever used with treifos, whether it's within 24 hours, within a month, 2 months, 6 months, whatever it is, you should never ever use the pot again for kosher food without kashering it. But b'di'evit, if you went ahead and you cooked with it, b'di'evit, we're not going to make you throw the food out. If you cook in a pot, that's a ben yomo, means within 24 hours, then even b'di'evit, the food is going to be treif. If you cooked in a pot that was after 24 hours, b'di'evit, the food is going to be kosher. So it's based on this principle that Ramah now raises the following shaila. We who accepted the chumrah of the Rivan, called dairy equipment, we accept meat equipment, dairy equipment. So what constitutes equipment for these purposes? What if I used a pot for fleshix last week, and now I went out and I cooked potatoes in that pot? Do I have to refrain from eating those potatoes with milk also? Or let's say I have a fleshik meal, and I want to eat together with the fleshik meal something that was cooked in a milchik pot, but it was cooked in a milchik pot that hasn't been used for milchiks in the last 24 hours. So do we have a right to say, well, everything is nosin tam lefgam, and whatever is nosin tam lefgam doesn't count anymore? So the Ramah says yes. The Ramah writes again that imaya klishin is bashlo and nitzabal of gam, shlo ben yomo, nogin het lechatchil ochle ben hasheni, then we do not have to be machmer for this. It's mutter even lechatchila to cook, to eat such food. However, what's not clear from the Ramah is the following. Even though the Ramah told us, beferish, that if you went ahead and you cooked pasta in a fleshy pot, if the pot was not used for 24 hours, then even lechatchila, you could put cheese onto it. Did the Ramah permit us lechatchila to set up such a situation? Can you actually run your kitchen this way? Can I say like this? You know, I want to make pasta right now to serve pasta and cheese. That's my goal. I'm going to go take my fleshik pot, knowing full well that this pot was fleshiks at one time, and I'm going to cook up pasta, lechatchila, to use that pasta together with cheese. Is there anything wrong with that? So if the pot was within 24 hours, that's for sure a problem. If it's more than 24 hours, can you do that even lechatchila, shlo lechatchila? So the Ramah doesn't comment on that. The Ramah just said if it happened already, then you can use the pasta with cheese. Would the Ramah sanction this even lechatchila? That was a big machlokes of poskim. So some poskim said yes, that the Ramah says that if it's ena ben yomo, the whole sugya falls by the wayside. So you can mamish, I can make my kids happy, I can make them take a regular fleshik pot, as long as I'm careful not to have used the pot within 24 hours, and it's mutter lechatchila, shlo lechatchila, to make this pasta, knowing full well I'm going to serve the pasta with cheese. Another poskim say, you know, we're concerned, we don't want to confuse the world with ben yomos, ena ben yomos, sometimes us, sometimes mutter. So if you would go home and tell your wife that Rabbi Savlovsky said that you're allowed to take a fleshik pot, you know full well it's fleshiks, as long as it's 24 hours and 1 minute since you used it for fleshiks, you can now cook parva food and serve it with milk, they would throw you out together with the pot. So most people don't follow this kula, but there are some poskim who permitted this, who said if it's ena ben yomo, everything's mutter, even lechatchila, shlo lechatchila. So again, so this basic sugya in terms of the whole notion of what's considered to be fleshiks, what's considered to be milchiks, what's considered to be merely equipment and not merely equipment, it all started out with the Gemara in Chulin Daf Kufir Aleph about the sugya of nat banat. The Gemara told us, dagam sh'ol b'ka'ara, that the fish that was put onto the fleshik plate is not really considered to be fleshik. So we gave an understanding based on the Rashba why that's so, because the tam is so weakened already, so it's not subject to becoming asur. Then we had the machlekes in the Rivan and the other Rishonim, whether that carries over to Derech Bishul or not, which was related to the issue of how to understand the chumrah about the tznon being cut with a knife. Is that a chumrah of the vecharif or not? Then we pointed out the machlekes in the Mechab and the Ramah had a paskin la'alocha. How the Ramah, the psach for Ashkenazim, is that we're choshesh for dairy or meat equipment lechatchila, but not to b'di'eved. And then we have the Ramah's addition that even in a situation where something is dairy equipment or meat equipment, it doesn't require or doesn't warrant the necessity of waiting between the two. And to such a degree, we're leaning on that, even though there was a little bit of a residue on it, that's also not considered to be a problem. And then we had the last Nakuda that the Ramah throws a little bit of a monkey wrench in the Kula, and he says that for Mediv Amurim, this whole sugya only makes sense when everything was a Ben Yomam. If things were not Ben Yomam, then everything goes, everything is okay. And we're not quite sure, Lemaisa, how okay is that? Is that okay even with the Yevit, or is that okay even with Chachila? So even within that small demarcation called a D versus a DE, there's a lot of lumdas. Every next time you see a D on a piece of equipment, a piece of food, you got to remember, is this really DE? Is it really D? Is it according to the Rivan, is it a problem? According to other Rishon, it's not a problem. The Chachila, but the Yevit, there's a lot of lumdas. So again, you can understand why certain problem in Tashkachas just take the whole thing off. They don't want to get the whole oil mixed up in it. But it's important to know the difference, because sometimes it does become an issue with the Yevit. You don't have to start throwing food out if it can turn out that it wasn't really milchus in the first place. Okay, let's stop.